Today on Annenberg Radio News.
I would have never expected that I would be actually the top of the class.
In our graduation day series, a high school senior proves his prowess, but not in the classroom, in the garden. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, April 9th, 2013. I'm Graham Clark. Mayor Villaraigosa will be giving his final State of the City speech tonight in Westwood. As the city gears up to elect a new mayor, reporter Denise Guerra takes a look back at Villaraigosa's legacy.
With 82 days left in his mayoral term, the spotlight is beginning to dim for Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa. But this won't stop the outgoing mayor from touting his record of success during his 8 years in office. Just 4 days ago, his office released an introductory video to tonight's State of the City address.
Teachers, artists, skateboard crews, and hip-hoppers, and everybody just funnels into this place, and everybody is like a great big family.
The video interviews LA locals and visitors on why they love Los Angeles, while statistics appear about a drop in crime, new parks, and an increase in transportation in schools. Cal State LA political science professor Rafe Sonnenschein has followed LA city politics for more than 30 years. Sonnenschein agrees that crime and transportation have been Villaraigosa's biggest accomplishments, and these successes are what the mayor will most likely tout in tonight's speech.
Than a number of previous mayors. I think he's a very skilled politician. And all these things, you know, add up to getting a lot accomplished and sometimes add up to people getting a little annoyed at him or seeing him out so much or, you know, seeing the political stuff. But the fact is, that's part and parcel of what made him successful, I think.
But not everyone is convinced of Villaraigosa's success as mayor. Ron Kay is the former editor of the LA Daily News and now blogs for CityWatch LA. Though he helped galvanize voters for Villaraigosa during the 2005 mayoral run, Kay is now critical of the mayor's record. This includes a city budget deficit of $150 million.
He's also such a good performer that he's made his story viable. But the fact is that the economy is in tatters to the point that labor and business and civic leadership have asserted themselves to try to find answers to the economic problems, the joblessness problem, and never-ending budget deficit.
Villaraigosa will give his final State of the City address at UCLA's Royce Hall at 5 p.m., and the speech will be streamed live at lacityview.org. Denise Guerra, Annenberg Radio News.
Immigration reform advocates are on their way to Washington for a huge rally tomorrow. Tens of thousands of people are expected to march on Capitol Hill, and the rallies will stretch all the way back to L.A. James Santelli reports on the new immigration plan those folks will be coming out to support.
A coalition of groups led by labor organizations will march on Senator Dianne Feinstein's Los Angeles office tomorrow morning. Jacob Hay of the SEIU United Service Workers West says demonstrators want to send a message to the Democratic senator.
I think it's important that California's most senior senator is a strong and loud voice for immigration reform that keeps families together and provides a realistic roadmap for citizenship.
The so-called Gang of Eight senators, led by Republican John McCain, say their bill will be ready this week. The main points expected? Number one, figure out if there can be a pathway to citizenship for the 11 million immigrants living here illegally. Number two, more officers and more drones at the U.S.-Mexico border. And number three, visa reform across the board that would create new visas for tens of thousands of skilled and unskilled workers to enter the U.S. That last point was agreed on by Strange Bedfellows, the Chamber of Commerce, and the AFL-CIO Labor Union. Business and labor are together on this proposed bill. Hay says it's not immigrant workers who bring down wages in Los Angeles.
It's unscrupulous employers who use their immigrant status to treat these workers not as well. So when we fix the immigration system, create a more level playing field, create some rules and some processes, it'll actually help the job quality and raise wages.
But before those undocumented immigrants get even treatment, the politicians will have their say. Mark Jones is the chair of the Department of Political Science at Rice University. He says the main point of disagreement will be how and when those 11 million immigrants can become citizens.
There's general consensus about allowing people who are undocumented to legalize their status, but there isn't a consensus on the pathway to citizenship yet. So I think in the end, the Republicans will probably agree to something as long as it has a long time horizon.
Previous immigration reforms got shot down in 2007, but Jones says Democrats will be more unified behind this bill, and Republicans are in a vulnerable political position after Hispanics overwhelmingly voted for Barack Obama.
When you have Republicans waking up to the reality that is, if this trend continues, and if the Republicans continue to lose Hispanic voters to the Democrats, that they're likely to be a minority party nationally and have no hope whatsoever of winning the presidency, as well as maintaining their House majority or winning back a Senate majority.
But immigrant rights advocates better have good walking shoes, because Jones says this is just the start of a long political process. James Santelli, Annenberg Radio News.
Parents at 24th Elementary School in South LA voted today on who will operate the school next year. Jerome Campbell spoke with the parent who motivated her community to reform their kids' schools.
Amabilia Valedia says her 8-year-old son goes to an elementary school with unclean facilities, one of the highest rates of suspension in the district, and a difficult principal.
She didn't communicate with the parent. Even the teachers complained that they couldn't communicate with her either. And parents started taking their kids to different schools.
And so over the course of a year, the enrollment rate at 24th Street in South LA dropped from 1,000 students to 600, leaving some parents discouraged. But Valedia saw this as a reason to get motivated.
She said, and it's not fair because this is my community school, and so they get paid to provide an education here, and so they should be.
So Valedia decided to protest for a better education. An education group called Parent Revolution helped her and other parents gather signatures for a petition to change their school.
Mobilize parents, help inform parents of their rights and what they are. What the options are for them.
That's organizing volunteer Laurent Q. He said Valedia was a major part of the effort and helped get most of the signatures.
I'll say Miss Amabilia, I think, is like the biggest fire starter that I've seen. She's going to make sure you hear her voice.
Valedia and other parents were able to get over half the parents in the school to sign a petition to reform 24th Street Elementary.
So the four things that the parents have asked for changes have been good leadership, a safe and clean school, a culture of high expectations, and effective and competent teachers.
The parents have four different options to reform their school. They can pick from three different charter school programs or a partnership between the district and a charter middle school. Votes are being counted now, and the new decision will be enacted next school year. Jerome Campbell, Annenberg Radio News.
An educational program aimed at helping kids thrive in challenging areas of Los Angeles celebrated its 25th year today, boasting some surprising gains. Cliff Liu has the story.
LA's Best is a free after-school program that focuses on core academic skills such as reading or math, and also offers fun activities. 189 elementary schools participate in this program for children ages 5 to 12. The goal for these kids with the greatest needs and fewest resources in Los Angeles is to stay in school and to improve their grades and test scores. Mayoral candidate Wendy Gruhl, one of LA's Best earliest supporters, says the effects of this program are long-lasting.
It matters that kids have a safe place to go. It matters that we are going to create a safe environment for them, help them not only with their homework, but all the other variety of things that are so critical.
An evaluation by UCLA found that participants are 20% less likely to drop out of school and 30% less likely than non-participants to commit a juvenile crime. They also are getting higher GPAs and score higher on standardized tests than those who aren't in the program.
I think the eyes of the whole country are on Los Angeles because we can work more cooperatively and collaboratively.
That's Carla Sanger, the president of LA's Best.
And this has always been, from day one, a
collaboration between the City of Los Angeles, the LA Unified School District, and the private sector.
As for the election coming up, Gruhl and Garcetti may clash over other issues, but they both agree to continue the LA's best program. Cliff Liu, Annenberg Radio News.
Now for the weather. Those fierce Santa Ana winds that knocked out power for some Angelenos have died down, but the Weather Service expects more gusts to develop between now and tomorrow afternoon. Other than that, expect a pleasant evening, clear skies, and lows in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, spring heats up with a high of 80, lows in the high 50s, and on Thursday, sunny with highs in the low 70s and lows in the 50s. Later on Annenberg Radio News, rocker Kenny Loggins talks about keeping life in the present tense and working without a major label. When Obamacare goes into effect next year, millions of California women will get insurance they didn't have before. But some critics are worried about several million more who will still be left in the cold. Camille Simmons has more.
266. That's the number of days until the Affordable Health Care Act kicks in on the 1st of January. Organizations like Planned Parenthood and Black Women for Wellness hosted Countdown to the Affordable Care Act today. Serena Jossel is the Director of Public Affairs at Planned Parenthood.
This is an event that we have every year to bring together community leaders and community members who have an interest in making sure that the Affordable Care Act rolls out here in Los Angeles in a way that really protects and prioritizes women's health needs.
The reforms will make breast cancer screenings free and provide contraceptives and other reproductive care for women. But many people worry about those who still won't have insurance. Daniel Zingale is a senior vice president of the California Endowment.
It will still leave some 3 million people uninsured, most of whom are legal residents, but a million of whom are undocumented Californians who some of us believe also need to have some access to care.
Zingale said there are people in rural areas who just don't have the information they need to take advantage of insurance.
People underestimate how hard it is to reach people in a state our size and let them know about a new public program. We have a pretty poor track record in this state of raising awareness, outreach, and enrolling people in programs.
Leaders of the event this morning hope California outreach programs and organizations can help to improve that track record. Camille Simmons, Annenberg Radio News.
Today in our graduation day series, we meet Calder Katz, a senior at Venice High School. For Katz, fitting into the system has always been hard. Unlike most of his classmates, he's not going straight to college. He will take some time off to do something he loves, farming. Helena Lee Callen, Ranger, reports.
Farming, that's almost like being a parent. You know, you plant these seeds and you nurture them and you make them become as good as possible. You make them the best that they can be.
Calder Katz is planting potatoes in the garden of Venice High School. The every morning landscaping class is his favorite.
It's very rewarding.
For Calder, actually enjoying a subject in school hasn't come easy. He has never really fit in.
I've always thought that being weird was really cool. When somebody's different, that is so refreshing. Get away from the common rabble of everybody else and go into your own little world.
But in school, Calder is expected to complete the assignments like everybody else, which for him is sometimes hard to understand.
I really think that the whole school system is sort of a fitting a person into a box situation. Like writing an essay, that's such a standardized thing at this point. It's five paragraphs, you know, you have to have the introduction, the core paragraphs, and then the conclusion. Maybe you don't want to write it that way. Maybe you want to start out the intro somewhere else. You know, like start it out like a movie where it starts with the end or something. That doesn't fly with schools.
Calder hit the bottom 5 years ago when he failed seventh grade.
I would have probably thought, I'm going to just go downhill from here. You know, I repeated seventh grade. That's terrible. What student does that?
Okay, look at these tomatoes, Calder.
Calder's father, Alan Katz, is an artist and understands his son's problems with school.
We're all like rejects from the school system. You know?
we don't, you know, we have, we're kind of our alternative thinkers in that we tend to learn our own ways, you know, and that school puts you in a rigid, you know, regimentation which is geared towards creating a product more than a human being.
Calder's family is preparing a dinner from the vegetables he has brought from the school garden. Calder's home is like a fairy tale house on a suburban street with its handmade furniture and mosaic detailing.
We did give them a lot of freedom to be themselves.
Oh, come on, you're completely different than most parents.
Yeah, and, well, how would you say we're different?
Because, one, look at your house. You completely changed the place that you're living.
That's because we're artists, you know, exactly. And most people think about those things.
Where you are brought up and really changes how you, what you become.
Calder? Oh, it is so good. It's after the rain. It's full of nitrogen. Yum.
That is Miss Pollock, Calder's landscaping teacher.
Did you do the assignment?
What's the assignment?
A homework.
No.
What? I'm shocked and dismayed.
She's not a very strict person. She lets you be as creative as you want, generally. Placing your plants wherever you want. You know, you don't have to put them in a grid fashion. You don't have to make it look like a farm.
Gardening has given Calder so much that after graduation, he will head overseas to do some farming. He's not in a hurry to continue his studies.
I would have never expected that I would be actually the top of the class. I felt like I am actually quite useful. People come to me to find out more about gardening. That's so strange to me. I've never had that sort of aura to me. After graduation, I'm going to Sweden for 3 months to work on an organic farm by myself. I do feel like that's going to really change me. I don't feel like I'm going to come back the same person as the person who left.
Helena Liikanen-Renger, Annenberg Radio News.
One sports program at USC is working towards an historic five-peat national championship. The men's tennis program is reaching new heights thanks to the efforts of its head coach, Peter Smith. Evan Budrovich reports.
Peter Smith is a humble and energetic coach who casts a carefree demeanor on the USC tennis program. When he took the job 11 years ago, Smith felt like a fish out of water.
It was like coming from high school to the pros. And even though I'd coached for 15, 16 years at the Division I level, coming here with the expectations, it was incredible, the difference.
The first few years at USC were tough. Smith struggled to find his confidence.
I felt like I wasn't accomplishing what I thought I would. And, you know, I was really putting a lot of pressure on myself. And when I was putting a lot of pressure on myself, that was transferring to the guys.
The Trojans began a tennis dynasty in 2009, winning their first of four straight national championships. This historic rise came full circle 2 weeks ago when Smith notched his 500th career victory.
I was happy to get to 500. That was a really fun day.
Smith embraced the achievement, but quickly shifted his focus to winning the next match.
You know, when you're a coach, it can't be about you. It's about the team and it's about these young guys. So that's what you got to stay focused on.
The tennis program's run has energized the three-time National Coach of the Year.
What I'm most proud of for the last 5 or 6 years is how consistent we've been. You know, we've never gotten fat and happy. We've always stayed hungry and humble.
SC's next match is Friday against Oregon from the friendly confines of Mark's Tennis Stadium. Evan Budrovich, Annenberg Radio News.
There's a new name in the world of indie music, but it's one you'll recognize if you've ever gone footloose or taken the highway to the danger zone.
Hi, I'm Kenny Loggins, and I'm a singer, and I've been doing it a couple of years now.
Loggins is on the road now as part of the Blue Sky Riders, a band that includes Nashville heroes Gary Burr and Georgia Middleman. What's interesting and indie about the project is that they're doing it without any major label support. It means the man behind This Is It has gone DIY.
The Blue Sky Riders was my opening act for a couple of years. We've started our own record company. We have our own promo people and people who run the label, and we use, of course, the internet. We did our first headlining run last September. It's been quite a learning experience for me. It's a keeps me creative and keeps me
present tense in the world.
You know, at this point, nobody would blame us for getting off the merry-go-round and sitting back and watching the other people take their turns. But we're not ready to get off the ride. We've still got things to say and songs to sing, and they're going to have to drag me off the merry-go-round. I mean, Graham, it's funny because I think that there's a lot of disadvantages to being older and doing this, but one of the great advantages is there's no part of the business that we aren't intimately familiar with how it works. So when the time came to, you know, say, are we going to do this ourselves, it was sort of a why not moment.
And when we realized what we weren't good at, we would find those experts and ask them to work with us.
Was there any one really exceptional moment where you felt like you were, you know, doing this whole enterprise independently?
We headlined a show before our record was out, and people were singing the words to our songs. And I thought, whoa, this is working, because that means they're following us online, and we're interacting with them, and we're putting our lyrics online, and they're actually learning them and listening to them before they could even buy them. And that was pretty powerful to me to see that.
Heavy metal bands, stuff like that, like really aggressive hip-hop acts, they talk about how their music reflects this whole sort of mentality or this whole sort of, you know, worldview. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where it's, you know, things are bleak and you have to be aggressive. And I'm interested in how your music also embodies a sort of philosophy. Am I gauging that right? Because that's the sort of impression I've gotten from your comments on it.
I feel like, personally, getting older, it's like I'll play this record in my car, and it's lifts me up. And for where I'm at in my life, I need to hear that message.
So we basically, from the beginning, said, why don't we just let the reaction dictate what we are? And we're getting a clearer idea of how people perceive us. You know, in the business side of it, it helps us. We don't waste a lot of time in places where they're just not getting it, you know, like Indiana.
No Indiana for you guys. You can't be serious. There's no beef between you guys and Indiana, is there? There's no, like, Tupac, Biggie thing?
That's a total joke.
Okay. Thanks for clarifying.
What's your own least favorite city in there?
And you guys are going to be at the Canyon Club on April 26th. Yes. If you don't mind trying to say your names back-to-back so we can sort of wrap it up.
I'm Georgia Middleman.
I'm Gary Burr.
Yeah, this is Kenny Loggins.
And we're Blue Sky Riders.
We're Blue Sky Riders. Riders.
One, two, three.
Blue Sky Riders.
Blue Sky Riders.
This is excellent.
We're tight, too. We're tight as a gnat's ass.
I see. Well, whoever you guys are, thank you for talking with me today.
You're welcome. Thanks, thank Greg. You.
The winning word in last year's script spelling bee was Gittapaws. Guetapans. Gittapaws. This French-derived word means to ambush or trap, but the 14-year-old who took home the top prize didn't need to know that, just how to spell it. That'll change this year. The kids will take multiple-choice vocabulary tests on the computer. This new portion will count for half of their overall score. If you're not B fans, the new vocab round won't be part of the televised event. Now we're checking in with Chaya Nene to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Thanks, Graham. A UCLA water polo player has been suspended from the university after he was arrested on rape allegations. Family members of Sandy Hook victims were at the White House today advocating stricter background checks for firearm purchases. And get ready, the first Powerball drawing is tomorrow. We'll have more tonight at 6.
Pretty serious news. Thanks, Chaya. For some insights on a downtown art exhibition called Made in Space, check out Stella Chung's review at AnnenbergRadioNews.org. And keep clicking on our website for more news about South Los Angeles. And that's it for this Tuesday. We had help today from ATVN and Sam Weiser. Kat Boza produces the arts and culture segment, and Catherine Davis is the newscast producer. Our executive producer is Aaron Trank. Special thanks to Dr. Zayas. And for all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Graham Clark.